wanna be down with the gang.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
7 o'clock on The Bench. It's a Friday. Leading you into the weekend. John has taken up arms in Ukraine, fighting a good fight with the Ukrainians, possibly. I know he was near Eastern Europe, so we don't know. Every time John goes out of town, this is mentioned on a text string that I'm involved in called Glory Boys with a Z.
Z makes it cool.
Glory Boys made it cool, a text string. And every time John goes out of town, major stuff goes down. He was out of town, I'm pretty sure, when the Astros got clipped by Major League Baseball. He was out of town January 6th, I know. There was a question about supposedly he was golfing at the quote-unquote Cabo Cup. We don't know that for
There's
a
no
fact.
Proof that actually occurred.
Yeah. He did send an image that was...
That could have been taken at any point.
Looked like a searchable image from Instagram. He's out of town now. War breaks out. You know, speaking of that, did you see, that's Dell. You guys know Dell. Bun B is going to join at 8, and he will host the last couple hours from 8 to 10.
Do I get to go home?
Nope. No, because he said the only reason I'm coming in is Dell.
Seems unlikely.
Have you enjoyed doing mornings lately, buddy? Is it good?
It's great.
I mean, is it just back in your zone?
No, it's not at all.
Are you back in your lane? Do you feel like, wow, I'm finally back on track?
No.
Getting up early?
No.
Driving in from Deer Park.
I don't live in Deer Park. Fine community, but I don't live in Deer Park. No, I'm not back in a lane.
You're not?
No.
You don't feel like you're...
You know how you know I'm not...
You know you swerve out of a lane and then you get back in it and you feel like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be.
No, you know how you know I'm not back in a lane?
What?
Because every day this week after I've been here, I go take a nap in my car. I'm not back in any lane.
Did you eat and sleep in your car yesterday?
I did that yesterday and Monday.
You ate and slept in your car.
The 2 days that I've done this, I ate and took a nap in the car.
That feels like a cry for help.
It's not a cry for help.
It feels like a cry for help.
I live too far away to go home and take a nap because there's no point. So I get some breakfast.
You could have gone to my house and slept out on the patio.
Why would I
put a blanket on?
In the cold?
With a blanket, it does.
What am I, an unhoused person? Because you don't call them homeless anymore. You call them unhoused.
Oh, is that what it's called?
What am I, an unhoused person where I go to an acquaintance's home?
No, you're unhoused and sleep and eat in your car.
No.
That's
I'm not
also unhoused.
I have a house, and I'm sleeping in my car because that's the best option
why don't
currently.
Why you move closer instead
why?
Of living in Deer Park or League City?
What? Why do I need to conform to your rules?
I'm just looking out for you.
No, you're not.
Yeah,
you
just, I'd prefer you move closer.
You would sleep
this
in,
is too far.
You that's, would sleep in your far. Office if you put a bed in there. Yeah, so why are you pretending like you wouldn't?
I just need a comfortable, relaxed back chair.
Yeah, get
maybe
yourself a nice chair.
A recliner, a true recliner. Yeah, I would. Actually, I would. And I'd like a nice blanket that has, like there's a certain type of blanket I would like. But yeah,
a weighted 100%. Blanket?
No, I don't want weighted blankets. But yeah, I could do that. I can see myself sleeping in my office.
I have heated seats, so I go in there and I'm all warm and toasty and I take a nap.
Yeah, that's still feels unhoused.
It's unhoused for an hour and a half that I'm in that car and then I have to come back and do the sports map stuff.
Did you see the Klitschko brothers are, you know, for those who haven't checked, I searched this yesterday. It's pretty, I don't know if scary is the word. Some of it's scary, but it's definitely pretty, sobering. We get desensitized to a lot of the things we see in the news. That's the news cycle for you. But the war between the Ukraine and Russia, I went on Twitter because I knew that there would be video stuff. I mean, that's where you can just go find whatever you want to find. So I just typed in Ukraine, and then I went to and everything populated, and I hit videos. And I went and watched videos. Now, there are some things where you see, I got to make sure this actually happened because I was fooled by another video that was apparently from, it was a fake video, maybe, that was from some type of game. But there is a video of a plane flying low that fires a rocket into something, and people are recording out of their window. I think that one is real. There are other videos that you can see of some of the carnage. It is. And now the Klitschko brothers, Vitaly and Vladimir, former, you know, heavyweight champs in boxing. Vitaly has been the mayor of Kyiv. We're calling it Kyiv now, not Kiev. The mayor of Kyiv since 2014. So he said they're taking up arms. Like, this is, you know, it's pretty sobering. They are going to take up arms. I guess at one point they were tight with Putin way back in the day. And he's like, he said, he's just trying to build an empire now. I saw him speaking to Good Morning Britain. He said, I don't know what's happened with him. And now he's just trying to build an empire. And basically he just said, we're going to take up arms and fight with our brothers here and protect, you know, it's a bloody war and we're going to protect ourselves. And so the Klitschko brothers, they're grabbing their straps and they're going to get after it. And it's a pretty sobering thing if you haven't seen the videos. Any of the videos going on for people, you know, saying goodbye to their family, things like that. I spent a lot of time doing that. Just for perspective, you might want to, you know, take a little peek in there on that one. But, you know, I can't even say, like, props to the Klitschko brothers. It's their lives. It's their country. It's a lot more than what we deal with on a regular basis and complain about. So,
baseball. He's not going to go on time. And,
why am I?
Well, salary cap.
Why do I have
John
to,
Wall's not playing. Like, well, man, this is a lot bigger than any of that.
Why do I have to grave this stiff hip corner?
And Dale's sleeping in his car eating.
I'm not complaining.
Weighted blanket.
You're complaining about that. I don't have an
issue
with that.
What's going on with the Klitschko brothers is way bigger than you sleeping in a car.
Well, you
like I said, if that's a cry for help, it's a cry for help.
It's not a cry for help.
But if it is, I don't know. You say it's not. But if it is, I just want you to know.
It felt like
I'm here for you. And no, I know John's going to be here for you.
Unlikely. When he's constructing Molotov cocktails for the rebels.
If you need him, he'll be here at some point.
I think it's interesting that you won't call this week a cry for help. Your buddy was gone and you're looking around going, I need a sense of home.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the closest sense of home I have in this building?
Right there.
I'm going to reach down the hall
and go get
a guy who doesn't like me that much.
Guy who used to have a Super Bowl keychain.
No, I gave that to you as a way to broker a peace.
And I re-gifted it to Gilbert.
Well, I was excited about that yesterday.
So a couple of news notes from yesterday that I want to get to. Our Rockets are back in action tonight. The 15-win Rockets take on the 13-win Orlando Magic. And the Rockets... Look, the Rockets are probably not going to hit their quest for 28. Dale, we're keeping a very close eye on the hashtag quest for 28.
Did you have the over in this one?
No, that's not even a talking point, honestly. But we do want it to get to 28 wins.
Why do you need it to get to 28
Just
wins?
It feels like that's a – you got to set goals. It
seems like an odd number, not 30, but 28.
We could call it the quest for over 27.5.
What? Okay.
What we're doing here, Dell, is we set a goal like, okay, this would feel like a realistic goal for the Rockets.
What made
Rockets.
You think that was realistic?
I mean, if I'm being honest,
you thought
we
some,
were coming up with random numbers and like, oh, let's just take the Vegas total, 27.5.
You thought when they're starting, one of their starting guards, his body is built by muscle milk, that was going to get you over the hump?
Well, okay, so
like, if Jalen Green was eating Panda Express and muscle milk to put on weight, would that surprise you?
I'd be for it
because there'd be at least some weight
he
on his bones.
He is lean. Jalen is explosive but lean.
And you thought that little tiny skinny fellow was going to lead you to 27.5 wins?
Way back when, I don't recall what my thought was. Honestly,
well, they have to be better. Was that it?
I thought John Wall would play. I know at that point, I thought John Wall would play basketball. But the Rockets are back. And here's the thing. I understand they're probably not going to get to 28 wins. They basically have to play 500 ball from here on out, which is highly unlikely based on what their record is now. But I am interested down the stretch to see. This is not the midpoint. We're beyond the midpoint. But I am interested to see how the Rockets play over the second half of the season, because they have flashed. They've shown some different signs. Alperen Şengün has had some really nice moments. Jalen Green has played much better as of late. Kevin Porter Jr. has had his moments. So, and then Dennis Schroeder, The Rockets, I haven't talked to you since they acquired Dennis Schroeder. In his first game with the Rockets, he looked pretty good. Is there a chance that Schroeder rehabilitates his whole image and maybe the Rockets are the beneficiaries?
How so? Don't you want them to lose? Or not no, you. You don't want them to lose for reasons. But wouldn't you want them to lose at this point?
I mean more long term. Like, is there a chance that Schroeder could give them an option to Kevin Porter Jr.?
Ooh. How old is Dennis Schroeder? Are the Rockets in a...
Schroeder feels like he's about 28.
In a spot where they want to pay Dennis
Schroeder.
He's been
around for a while.
He's 28 years old. He'll be
so he's still got... Was he just a one-year deal this year? Was
I thought he signed a
that?
One-year deal because he didn't Cause take the deal from the Lakers. Deal. He made a bad decision. He's a one-year, $5.9 million deal from the Celtics. Dennis Schroeder's still looking for his payday because he missed out on one. The Rockets aren't paying him, are they? Mm.
I think it would depend on what pay it looks like.
Well, the man turned down like $84 million because he thought he was getting a bigger deal from the Lakers.
Yeah, well, he didn't.
No.
He did.
He's going to look for another deal, and the Rockets, unless they want to spend cash on a third guard. So if they don't want to spend cash on a third guard, why are they paying Dennis Schroeder?
No, I mean, you're probably right. You don't want to get into anything where you're paying for guys who are just playing in contract years. They didn't do it for Kelly Olynyk. And Kelly Olynyk's pretty good. He's a pretty good basketball player. He's a guy that I wonder if Rafael Stone had it all over to do again, would he look to do a deal with Kelly Olynyk? Olynyk got pretty good money, though, from what I can recall.
And the thing with Kelly Olynyk being 30, he's one of those guys you call a progress stopper. He's too good to not play.
Yeah.
But if you are looking to play younger people and give them minutes,
that's
you can't have Kelly Olynyk on the roster because that guy is a legitimate NBA basketball player who you have to roll out there.
He's more of a middling team guy that you hope can help push you into
like
another category.
He's like the 8th, 9th guy on on a good team's roster.
Yeah. And isn't that really what it gets down to, the Eric Gordon? I think Eric Gordon, they like him for leadership and veteran presence in the locker room. But Eric Gordon's right there, same category.
Yeah, and that's why people were surprised he wasn't traded at the deadline.
So the Rockets and Eric Gordon will be in action tonight against Orlando. Rafael Stone, Rockets GM, is going to join us at 8:30. Houston Oilers legend from the Love You Blue days in the late 70s into the early 80s, Ken Burrow, wide receiver, 00, has passed away at the age of 73. So interesting to see he got a note on the front page of NFL.com, just, in terms of being a guy who was part of the Houston institution from an era that was probably definitely the most fun of Houston football. And we're going back now 40 plus years. It was your best era in the most exciting era of Houston football. I got close with Warren Moon's Oilers and House of Pain Oilers, but it was like year after year, there was just devastating heartbreak in the postseason. And of course, nothing with the Texans has been even remotely near that. A lot more when we come back. A lot of interesting notes, and I've got some. The deals being done right now for broadcasters are, I'm not going to say that's not NFL quarterback money, but I'm telling you right now, the deals being done for former quarterbacks are substantially more than they were making when they played in the actual league itself. We'll tell you who the latest one to get the big deal is coming up here in just a second. 713 on the bench. If you guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, just as a little programming note locally, for those of you who enjoy the show on Twitch, you will have to listen on your app, and then you can watch your Twitch while you will hear no sound, and you can just see us if it's that important for you to see.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's synced up anyway. The audio with Twitch and the app are the same anyway.
Because apparently there's something that's screwed up with the audio on Twitch. There's something that's not fixable.
Not by us. It's an engineer, equipment guy needs to come in here and get that sorted out.
So you guys can listen on the radio, ESPN 97.5 or 92.5. Check either one. Find out which of the signals is best for you where you live, or listen on the app. You can download the, just search for ESPN 97.5, and you can download the app and listen live there. Or you can also listen live via your desktop at ESPN97.5.com. Just click listen live. Eric Bieniemy, quickly some national notes. Eric Bieniemy re-signed a one-year deal with the Chiefs. That is a weird situation there. I had Carrington Harrison on from 610 Sports Talk in Kansas City on Tuesday, and he talked about the fact that it's a weird situation where Eric Bieniemy was looking at his options of coaching college football or taking a year off since he didn't get another head coaching job. I don't think he's getting a head coaching job in the NFL. Something's going on, whether it's his background with some physical altercations, whether it's interviews, whether it's something people don't care for. GMs of all races are not hiring him. They've given him interviews. People don't like him. And there's other guys who are getting looks and who are going to be hired. And I don't know what it is. It really came to a head when Andy Reid wasn't sure he was going to bring him back. I was like, man, what is going on here? Something doesn't match the national narrative of this is the next man up, where the Chiefs aren't even sure. And there was a big article that came out from the United Chiefs Kingdom. It's like a fan group that – it looked like they had inside info from some intel from inside the Chiefs, and they listed all these issues that he has with Pat Mahomes, that he had with Mike Kafka, who was the quarterback coach who just recently left. Where did Kafka go? He got the Bears with Ryan Poles? I can't remember. I think Kafka left, but maybe he's still there.
He is the he's the offensive coordinator for the Giants.
Okay, so he went with Joe. He went over there with Joe Shane, the GM, brought
Brian
him
Dayball,
over.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll did, yeah. So he even left the next man up, and they were still considering not redoing Eric Bieniemy. Something's going on with Eric Bieniemy. He's probably the narrative about Eric Bieniemy and getting the next job needs to stop, because he's barely hanging on to a coordinator job with the Chiefs.
And
so I don't know what's going on.
And the interviews have dried up, and I think maybe he went on to the Saints, maybe, and
yeah,
maybe the
Saints.
Broncos. Was that the other one?
Yeah, Saints, and there's, you know, rumors that the league really pushed hard for the Saints to hire him, and they're like, you're not going to make, if an owner doesn't think a guy is going to help them win, they're just not going to hire him.
Yeah, so you wonder if there's... But
he signed a one-year deal. He's back with Kansas City for another
year. If there's
year.
Maybe not a deep, dark secret, but a secret or a conversation around him that the NFL as a whole think it's better to keep quiet on about him because it wouldn't look great for him overall. Because what else, what other explanation is it? Because it's all like you said, the national narrative, people discussing, why isn't Eric Bieniemy, how can this guy be getting it?
There's a disconnect.
When the guy
exactly
who's with the one of the best franchises in football can't get a job, and this guy gets one that's relatively unknown.
I mean, honestly, Mike McDaniel getting one ahead of Eric Bieniemy, if you just look at it from a standpoint of, I mean, he's got Kyle Shanahan over there. So it's not like he doesn't have an offensive mind over there. You know what I mean? So Mike McDaniel getting a head coaching job before Eric Bieniemy. And I don't care that Mike McDaniel is biracial. That's not even – my point is, we're just talking about guys who should be head coaches, if you should be a head coach. Ultimately, I know this much. A lot goes into these interviews. I've talked to guys who have interviewed for – GM jobs, and when they go through their entire, like, what they have to go through, you have to go speak on a team's roster, what you would do from a cap standpoint, what you would do, what your philosophy is, who are coaches you would target, head coaches you would target, who are personnel guys you would target. Like, you have to go in with, it's more than just, I believe in getting men to play their very best. You have to show respect, but at the same time, hold guys accountable. The talking points, it's not a talking point thing. It is, you have to have PowerPoints ready. You have to have a plan. It's like if you wanted to pitch a business. I found this out. If you want to go pitch a business, you have to have a business plan where you show expenditures, you show expected income, you show what your 3 and 4 years down the road, what your growth expectations are going to be. There's an entire setup. I don't think, remember, a lot of these owners of football teams are also owners of business. And I really think they expect your pitch to be, your interview is a pitch where you're showing what your business model is going to look like. Maybe that is it. some of the legal issues. Bieniemy was arrested along with a teammate following a 1988 bar fight. He pleaded no conduct. Now, this is 88. So, you know, you can do with that, you know, what you want to. But you had that was a bar fight. Well, then Chicago police arrested him and teammate Canavis McGee following a 98 bar fight. I think it may have been 88. Bieniemy pleaded no contest after allegedly shoving a firefighter in 1990. Colorado police once again arrested Bieniemy. Then in the NFL in 1993, the Orlando Sentinel reported that Bieniemy allegedly grabbed a female parking attendant by the neck and threatened her. She stated that the male who grabbed her said something about a bunch of black males all at once being her worst nightmare. In the thing, Colorado police arrested Bieniemy on DUI charge in 2001, 3 months after he joined the football staff. He was also linked to allegations that he used alcohol and sex to lure recruits in 2004. So this is like, there are things in his background, you know, that's a lot of that's a while back. And some of that I would like, to me, I would immediately, the bar fight in 88, I don't care about that. 98, 88, whatever year it is, I don't care about that. The inducements, you know, you want to look into that, but I'm just telling you, a lot of stuff happens in a lot of places. But when you look at the thing with Art Briles, you kind of look at it a little bit differently. But if you look at all of those things, maybe that's what you're talking about, Dale. Maybe they look at that in totality, and maybe that's hurting them, some of those issues. I mean, there have been multiple arrests. It's been a while back. You kind of want to judge the guy on who he is now, and who he's going to be. But I don't know. I just think that's an interesting one that we haven't dug into. You and I haven't dug into because
I've got bigger things to do.
Yeah, no,
do you, a show you, with you.
You clearly do.
I don't
care. It's not my fight. I'm an interested observer. But I did find it very strange when all of a sudden he might not even re-up with his own team. He might have been out of a job.
That would be different than looking into his past, because the Chiefs would have known and still hired him. So that would be more an interpersonal relationship thing in the building, as opposed if they weren't going to bring him back because they had employed him since 2013 and they knew all about
that
stuff.
The Chiefs have issues, by the way. Yeah. They've got, you know, they took on Damon Arnett after what he had. Frank Clark, after his issues with his domestic abuse against his girlfriend and her brother when he was at Michigan, he wasn't able to compete in the combine because he had a hearing set. Like, there is a lot of stuff with the Chiefs. There's, you know, they had a guy arrested the other day, the one who was with Alvin Kamara. Another Chiefs player was involved in that, but although he's a free agent, he's going to be out of there. Kareem Hunt, when he was arrested.
Tyreek Hill.
They have a lot of them, and I was talking about a draft prospect who's done a couple of things, and a scout told me, he basically, like, kind of joking but kind of not joking, said if there's ever been a Chief, this guy is a Chief.
Is that the John Dorsey effect, or is that
I don't know?
Are they still acquiring
it's still
those
going
guys?
On.
Well, I guess Damon Arnett.
Yeah, these are well beyond. Yeah. These are well beyond John Dorsey. Dorsey's been out there for what, 4 years?
Did his understudy take over there?
Yeah, Brett Veach, who was Andy Reid's guy.
Okay,
who's been on there with Andy Reid? Yeah, they're still taking chances on volatile personality guys in Kansas City. And they're being known, like, they're getting a reputation around the league as being old school Raiders. You know what you thought of for years and years with the Raiders? That's what, that's the reputation that they're getting. When we come back, two things. Number one, what would it be like to make a $1.10 bet and win $532,000? And also, there is an NBA player who is doing something at an incredible rate. But I think you're going to recognize one
thing?
Of the... Yeah, it's actually a really, really good thing. And we here in Houston would know all about that. It's 7:26 here on the bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
7:30 here on The Bench. So I told you before, there is a player doing something really amazing And we here with the Rockets would know something about this. It's DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan, can you imagine being the Lakers and not like going after DeMar DeRozan?
They could have had him in.
There's a whole article that I want to get into about LeBron. This guy wrote this thing about LeBron. See, LeBron and Jordan are always compared, but the one thing that happened was LeBron was allowed to be a general manager and Jordan wasn't. So what Jordan did was literally shame a guy almost out of existence in Jerry Krause. Called him crumbs because he always had crumbs on his shirt. Like, Jordan shamed him to the point that Jerry Krause hated Jordan more than anything, and Jordan hated him. But Jordan didn't know how to run a team.
We see that now.
And, yeah, well, we even saw it at the time. And LeBron doesn't know how to run a team either. I mean, LeBron, the idea of getting Russell Westbrook in was a massive, massive mistake. You should have just re-signed Alex Caruso and not had Russell Westbrook, and you would have been in substantially better shape. Now LeBron apparently is really upset that they didn't trade Russell Westbrook for John Wall or didn't make a push. Have you seen video of John Wall? John Wall released video like, oh, it's on now. It's him in a pickup game, and he looks so dreadfully slow. There's no way he can play pro ball at any kind of a level. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, you can get yourself in game shape, so he probably can, actually. But that would be a disaster, too, to take on John Wall's contract. And so in that regard, LeBron has been allowed to do what Jordan did, and I think both of them, he's now stuck himself in a corner with an oft-injured Anthony Davis, a contract you can't unload in Russell Westbrook. LeBron and the Lakers are finished. I mean, they're absolutely finished. A guy who's not finished, who went to Chicago, which is the home of maybe the new power in the East, is DeMar DeRozan. And he's averaging 30. He's had 35 points or more for 8 consecutive games. Now, I don't know. I'm kind of desensitized to it. I think, wow, that's really, really good. I'm sure, you know, Steph has done it, and this guy's done it, and that guy's done it. But I know James Harden has done it. Well, I assume. I know he had 30-point games, so I wasn't sure if James had hit 35 all those times.
I think the more remarkable thing is he's doing it on that level of shooting.
Well, you mean
DeMar DeRozan.
That level of shooting.
In terms of the efficiency.
Oh, yeah, because he's not a three-point shooter either.
No.
That's what's staggering is he doesn't shoot volume threes to get up there.
No, and the fact that he continues to make two-point mid-range jumpers, he is getting to the rim. But the fact that you look at I wonder what James's shooting percentage was throughout those, because I'm looking at his last 8 games. 60% from the field, 59%
You're talking
from the
about
field.
DeRozan?
DeRozan, 59% from the field, 68% from the field, 63% from the field, 50% from the field, 67% from the field, 59% from the field, 71% from the field. That's the more astounding stat.
That's like centers in the 80s or 90s, you know, with high field goal percentages. And then, you know, the other thing is when you look at his game log from a free throw standpoint, I mean, 5 of 7, 2 of 2. 5 of 5, 8 of 8. That's not. Then you have a 14 of 16. Okay, that looks familiar, like a James thing.
Yeah.
7 of 7, 7 of 10, 6 of 8. So he's doing it without volume threes. 2, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 3, 0, 0. He's doing it without volume threes and volume frees. Right now, somewhere, Daryl Morey is like, that's not compelled. That's not compelled.
Losing his
mind.
And
the wires, and the smoke is coming from the wires, and the computer just can't understand, like, this does not compute. Does not compute. Freeze and threes. Freeze and threes. Somebody is scoring a lot of points at an incredibly efficient rate without shooting 900 threes and without getting to the free throw line 26 times playing a role of Slip and Jimmy. You now, and I'm going to use that because it's
you
literally
stole that
perfect
from me.
No, I came
That's
up
mine.
With it yesterday.
No, I called James
when
Slip
I
and Jimmy.
A shower.
No. You don't take showers. You're a bath guy. We know that about you.
No, never been a bath guy.
You stew in your
bath
own filth.
Bath people stew in filth. Yeah, it's disgusting. That doesn't make any sense.
It's not luxuriating. You're making a soup out of your dirtiness.
Yeah.
So the MVP talk has been Embiid and Jokic, the back and forth. But what DeRozan is doing and where the Bulls are now, half game ahead of Miami for number one seed overall, he's got to be in the conversation.
Well, it has to be. So Embiid, I think it's Jokic, Ja Morant. At some point, you're going to start hearing more and more about Luka if they can get more wins, because Luka's on a little bit of a tear here now that he's dropped about 15 pounds. Luka even said, oh, by the way, I've been saving this story for you. Mark Cuban went on Dallas radio
and said Luca heard all the people making fun of him and criticizing him for his weight, because he was definitely heavy coming in, same way he was last year. He's up over 260. And he goes, and you know, he heard it and took it to heart. It humbled him, and he's come out a lot better. And what I wanted to bring up to you is, this is an example of how, and really John needs to be here for this story, how fat shaming works. Fat shaming has a positive effect on many people, including Luca.
You know, I have a theory, a more toxic theory that I don't think I can discuss. I'll run it by you during a break to see if you think I can bring it up.
You have toxic theories.
Because I know you guys are more uptight on this side. So I want to make sure I can say.
We're more uptight than on the sports map side?
Yeah. So I want to make sure I can say what I've through my life experiences have figured out about, you know, people dealing with, you know, transformations. And I'm going to talk to you about it off the air and see if you think it's something we can approach. I don't believe you should shame someone into turning their life around. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying it works. I don't think you should. You're a bad person if you
is
do that.
Is that kind of what being, whenever they have, what is it called when you bum rush somebody and you, an intervention? Isn't it kind of an intervention? Like, Twitter's always trying to do mean interventions to people where, I mean, they're kind of hoping you do something bad to yourself, but that's because that's how Twitter is. But at the same time, if something happens good, they say, see, we kind of helped shame Luca with our memes into being a good player again. Kind of shamed him.
You think the elite...
Ben Simmons?
Twitter hasn't worked. Ben Simmons hasn't been shamed into developing a jumper.
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that going to happen? What about James? Has James been shamed
into what?
Anything? I bet you see him shamed into shape whenever...
He's all, no.
James is not in shape in New Jersey. He didn't care to be. You know why James took all this time off? I guarantee you, it's not from any lingering injuries. James didn't play headed into the All-Star break because he's trying to get in shape. Because he wants the best version of James. He wants to look leaner. James can actually get in shape.
You can't
pretty
get
quickly.
In shape playing basketball?
Not the way James was playing.
And
he wasn't even playing all the time.
Did someone send us audio? Oh, no, I saw it. I got to send it to you about James openly admitting that he would. We all knew this, but he spoke about it. But he used a more sanitized scenario where he goes, yeah, I stayed up all night because he's got friends in rap. So he goes, I had practice at 7:30 a.m., but I had to stay up and see what these guys were doing. So I would be up all night in the studio with them and then drive to practice. I was like, oh, okay.
No one balls harder than James. No one cares about winning less than James.
He goes, no, James, you know
I think James wants to win if it's convenient to his outside schedule.
He said, I couldn't miss this opportunity to be in the studio with these guys.
I totally get it. I would feel that way. John would 100%. Because I've never seen anyone drink harder and get to work in a more professional way. I mean, I'm not saying what comes out of his mouth when he's been drinking is professional. That you know that. This dude shows up, though.
He's,
like, John
he's clearing
is a warrior.
He's clearing out his entire soul.
Yeah. But John is a warrior. He will go out, party all night, stay up playing cards in an underground poker house that has to be guarded by machine guns, drinking his Coors Light, 50 of them, because that's what it takes to get drunk. And then he will show up and do a show. Like, John is a warrior, more so than Jack. And I guess to that extent, he's like James. I don't think John cares about winning that much either.
No, he's a kept man.
Yeah, I don't think he cares about winning, really.
He's much like James. He'll win.
John is like James?
He'll win if it's convenient for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not going to.
You're not going to cut into his outside stuff.
Or just even when we're talking about here, I mean, he would love to be great doing the show to be great as long as it goes the way he wants it to go.
Yeah, as long as it's on his terms.
Yeah.
Same thing with James. That's why, you know, John got rid of Dell. John got rid of Sean Salisbury. It's the same thing.
John got rid of me twice.
John got rid of everybody. John gets rid of everybody.
Yeah, because...
He got rid of me. I didn't tell people this. John made sure he said, I want Lance out. And I had to go find something at 790s. I'm like, okay, John.
He hardened me.
I was the original Dwight.
I was here for that, and I don't remember that going.
Well, because John wouldn't let that narrative out.
Okay.
But John
So your detour was actually... John disposed of you?
I was Dwight. Ooh. I was basically Dwight Harden.
And you're
I mean, if we're going to go, it didn't actually happen like that, but if we want to build up this I John mean, as James Harden narrative.
If you want to go with you being Dwight Howard, I can say, and you're
Can I say your career has gone the path of Dwight Howard? You want to avoid that?
That feels uncomfortable. All right, that feels then. Uncomfortable.
Maybe you don't want to be Dwight Howard.
Tomorrow, you have the James Harden. Here's the James. Here's John Granato speaking on drinking and then coming in to do radio.
They all call me like, yo, we about to pull up to Houston. Like, baby, Dirk, me. They all come to the house. They land at like 2 in the morning. I got to go to practice in the morning. They come in the studio, and I'm up with them the whole time. And I go right from the studio at 7:30 a.m. right to practice. I can't miss this opportunity. They in the studio. I got to see what these dudes by the time. They all.
This is where I disagree. You could go see these guys in the studio.
This is the dude.
Literally any number of times.
This is the dude Daryl Morey's pinning his title hopes on again.
Rappers come to town and they're going to a studio because that never happens.
That's a special moment.
And James is like, I can't. Jeez. I can't miss this once in a this 25 times in a lifetime.
Who are the rappers
moment.
Again? Who are the rappers again?
Well, he said, baby,
Dirk and Meek. Okay, Meek is great. The other two are like, I feel like you can go watch them after practice.
Do we know when this happened? Because this could have been a Philly. Because Meek's a Philly guy.
It's true.
This could have been just
this
recently.
Happened, yeah, this could have happened 2 days ago.
This could have happened just recently.
I just want to point out your Lord and Savior, Daryl Morey, is pinning his title hopes on this guy again.
I'm a non-believer now. Mm. Ever since he brought James back, and if he gives, I will be a non-believer. I will still be
He's giving Darryl James trust. An extension.
If he gives James this mega extension.
Of course he is.
That's not analytics.
He can't
that's
trade.
That's not analytics,
He
Del.
Can't trade. Now, Ben Simmons was a non-starter for them, but he can't trade an under-contract player.
You can to get rid of the contract number so that you and have the, room for free agency.
But what's
agency.
The point of
free agency money?
They don't have any money. They're still over the cap. They're paying Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid.
But if James leaves, you know Daryl's a wizard with cap
stuff. If James leaves, they're not going to have any money. He's going to have to pay James, and he will. He will. He cannot acquire James
Harden.
When
he does, I will no longer be in Daryl I trust because I'll know he's fundamentally out of our community of the numbers guys.
Look, the Chris Paul thing went.
We knew what that was.
Chris Paul has extended himself beyond what we thought. Yeah. But he gave Chris Paul the money, too, because they had a wink-wink deal. Agreement. The wink-wink has already been done. The wink-wink was when Daryl Morey put on his own Instagram him embracing James Harden.
That was bananas.
That's embarrassing.
That one, to me, I had to stop my argument with John. I'm like, all right, you're right.
This is a guy.
This is something with James that's not normal.
This is a man who will trade anyone and everyone because he feels the best for his team. But he posted on his own social media. It wasn't the Sixers. It wasn't some news reporter. He posted to his own social media him embracing James Harden
that
on the tarmac.
Weird. No, that felt
it's
weird.
It's not weird. It's who he is.
By the way, DeMar is the seventh player in NBA history with 8 straight games of 35 or more. Listen to these players. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, all in a 75. They were all in a 50. I mean, LeBron wasn't at that time. And then James Harden. And then James Harden. I mean, so James Harden and now DeMar DeRozan are on the list. Does that cheapen the names that are on this list?
Harden's on the list?
Well, I think James Harden is one of the greatest offensive players ever to live, and I think everything bears that out. I mean, doesn't mean he's one of the greatest basketball players ever. He's one of the greatest offensive players. Does DeMar DeRozan being on there?
No, he's like, having a special year. The man is legitimately
are we going to look at him in 10 years in 20 years are we going to look at him as an outlier on this list?
Probably.
He does play in an era where you score more
points. DeMar DeRozan has been he's now a five-time all-star. Sure, the Toronto stuff didn't work out because LeBron was in his conference. He can never beat him. But I mean, the slander for I gave it to DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, but once they've been separated and DeMar got kind of lost in San Antonio, no one paid attention, but he was a legitimate good player in Toronto.
Yeah.
And now he's clearly the lead dog in Chicago. His issue has been the playoffs. That's why someone called them the Trash Brothers at one point, because Steph and Clay were doing their thing and Kyle and DeMar were getting their ass kicked by LeBron, like a lot of people do. But I don't think it'll cheapen the list. He's going to be a guy who, 32, he'll probably make a couple more All-Star games. So you're probably talking about a 6 to 7-time All-Star?
Will Jalen Green have 30 points in 3 consecutive games next year?
Ooh.
You got to think about it a little bit, because you know that guys get better quickly.
Probably at some point.
3 consecutive next year, I said. 3 consecutive games of 30. That's still a lot.
If he doesn't do as – they're not going to take the ball out of his hands. He's going to get shots up. I'm not saying he's going to do it efficiently, but you would have to hope at some point.
That would be awesome if he's hitting 30 for three games in a row. Rafael Stone, Rockets GM, going to join us at 8:30. We'll talk some ball with him. Bum B coming up here at 8 o'clock. He'll host for a couple hours. I still got a lot of other stuff to get to. I didn't get to. I mean, this is how you pull me off my
track.
What
did I do?
I didn't get to the parlay, and I didn't get to Troy Aikman making a bunch of money.
Oh, great. People hear about other people making money. That's supposed to be interesting to people. We're talking Rockets basketball.
It's all sports is DeMar DeRozan. Everyone wants other people to secure bags that they'll never have.
Well, like, I don't live my life that way.
Or they pocket watch other people who they – it's like not even their money.
Like when they put the – he keeps telling us to go to break, but sorry. This is my show, so we go to. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you.
I'm just dabbed on.
Oh no, but everyone, every time someone puts like a ticket out and goes, look, this. I don't care how much money you made. Is it my money? When they say, look at the bet I won. I don't care about that. Why do people retweet and like that? Mm-hmm. It's not your money. You didn't win. If I'm not winning, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either. It is like I do look at it and say, wow, this guy turned this a 23 game parlay. Into $1.10 for a 23-game parlay turned into $532,000. You know what it does to me? Makes me mad.
Does it give you hope?
No, it gives me despair. It's the opposite. It makes me think, why can't that be me? When I see lottery winners, you know what I don't think? Man, what an amazing time for them. I wonder if their life is, I wonder what they're going to do now. Is this going to, you know what I think? Why not me?
Exactly.
That's why, I'm just telling you, that's why I'm Silky Johnson, Player Hater of the Year. Because
hate.
That's what I'm thinking. 746 right here on the bench.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, Bumby going to join us in a little bit. Dell and I have been kicking around a lot of different things. You guys want to jump in, 713-780-3776. Troy Aikman, I don't know what Troy Aikman made during his career. And I know if I just Google Troy Aikman contract, it's just going to pull up his newest one. But I'll guarantee you, he and Tony Romo is making in the neighborhood of what he made. Troy is definitely making way more. After the move of Troy Aikman from Fox to ESPN, which is a major, major deal in the broadcast world, the next tremors are expected to reverberate from the NFL sidelines and some sportscasting all-time biggest name, from Sean McVay's possible exit from coaching to a musical chair of play-by-play players involving Al Michaels, Joe Buck, and NFL TV free agency. It could become even more chaotic. Aikman signed a 5-year deal in the $90 million range with ESPN. And Sean McVay, so it's believed that Sean McVay's talk and Aaron Donald's talk, it's both about getting long-term deals, but if McVay, Amazon has been trying to close the deal with Al Michaels. If they got Al Michaels, Amazon. Now, Amazon, last I checked, they have some money. I think they've got like $100 million in the bank, if what I've heard is correct. That is a lot. I'm sorry, it's $100 billion. If Amazon wants, they could pay Sean McVay $20 million.
This is where we're at because the Rams know Sean McVay can't really play them off another NFL team. It doesn't work that way. Head coaches just don't dip like that.
Right.
But, hey, I know I just won you Super Bowl, but Amazon's calling, so we're using media outlets to leverage teams.
But Amazon is going to be getting big deal. Like, we at NFL.com, we are one of the things that we're kind of in a holding pattern with a lot of stuff because Amazon may end up buying NFL.com. Like, there's talk about Amazon buying us or a percentage of it, and getting the NFL Sunday ticket deal.
Ooh, you know, so you get
multiple.
So you'll get to interview Jack Reacher and the cast from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I don't want to do either one of those, but no. I would interview Amazon Prime. I would interview, what are the shows
Mizell,
on Amazon Prime?
Marvelous
like?
Mizell?
Yeah, I'd interview Tony Shalhoub.
When, what's he on?
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Okay, gotcha.
He's the dad.
Would you interview John Krasinski when?
Yeah, sure.
When the next season of
I don't care about Jack Ryan, but okay. Yeah, I'd interview him.
So,
and he'd be like, what's your favorite part of Jack Ryan? I'm like, I don't know. I know Michael Kelly's in it.
You know you're going to have to put on, like, Hobbit feet, right?
That's John.
No, you will.
That's John. But oh, Amazon's yeah, I'm NFL. Own you. Yeah, Amazon Lord of the Rings. Never let John in.
No, Lord of the Rings is part of Amazon. They're going to make you put on Hobbit feet. Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to have to do that.
Well.
Chris Collinsworth made $12.5 million a year to team up with Mike Tirico. There's money in TV now.
Well,
there's some serious with Stephen A. Smith. You know where there's also money? Podcast. Joe Rogan and Pat McAfee's podcast deals.
So much money.
Sean McVay may consider leaving coaching at age 36, which obviously we know he'd get back into it. He'd do that for like 2 years.
Yeah, and some.
He's just doing it earlier. He's following. Is there ever been a baby Gruden more than Sean McVay?
No, he's exactly like him.
The way he looks, the way his attitude is, he's just a little nicer. He's a nicer version.
Yeah, he's using Amazon instead of Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, to leverage and get out of there.
And even if he gets on, man, I'll tell you what, man, this McVay kid's doing it right. Going up in the booth, just sitting there, getting mad every time. Who was his broadcast partner at the time? It wasn't Al Michaels.
Wasn't it Tirico?
Was it?
Yeah.
Because Mike Tirico would try to have a fun time, like would mention something that was more pop culture. Was it Rich Eisen? No, it was never Eisen.
It was right? Mike Tirico.
It was Mike Tirico, yeah.
On Monday Night Football, right?
Yeah, I think that's who it was. And Gruden just was not. Man, what do you think? He'd bring up something pop culture. I don't know about all that, man. It's not my business.
I've got emails.
I don't watch your show.
I mean, I'm going to send an email in an hour from now that'll ruin my career a decade later.
Man, let me craft a carefully worded email to everybody in the league with a league email, man. I want to see if anyone saves these things. I think they just disappear like those Snapchats of people's feet. Let me see if this works.
John, you know we're on the air, right?
Hey, it disappears after time. It doesn't stick around. That's the thing. No, that's the great thing about the internet.
That's not
everything disappears.
That's not how emails work. In fact, that's the exact opposite of the internet, John.
That's the thing. You can delete it. I've got a whole box of everything that's sent. I delete my sent box. Boom, it's gone. No,
John.
There's
the person who receives the emails can still keep
it. But I deleted my sent box. It is out of there, man. There's no more emails.
Have you heard of company servers?
Absolutely not, man. There's no such thing as a company server. I don't know what it is. Doesn't exist.
I'm John, in about a decade.
You know what exists? The bare front where you mug up on the center guard center, and all of a sudden, you can't let the center guard. All of a sudden, outside zone teams can't get up to the second level. I mean, that exists. A server, you know what a server is? Hey, do me a favor. Bring me my banana pudding in a jar because I love it when I get it in
John,
a jar.
That's a different server.
I like when I got to go deep with that spoon. You got to get a different spoon for a banana pudding jar, man. You can't just have a regular spoon. You need a teaspoon to get deep into there, and then the teaspoon's not as wide as you need.
Eli
on a
Manning
pudding.
Facing a 3rd and 5, and my co-host is going on a rant.
Tell you what, man. This guy right here, Ryan Tannehill, not a real good quarterback. He's good at handing the ball off, man. Keep doing that. Give it to the big man, Derrick Henry. It's a big guy right there, man. I like that guy.
How much money? How much money is Troy Aikman making again?
$18 million a year.
More than he ever made as a quarterback.
More than he ever made as a quarterback. $90 million. Amazon held talks with current GM, 49ers GM, John Lynch, according to sources. I'm just telling you, whoever they want to get, they have so much money that they will pull them out of anybody who's currently working in the grind that is known as the NFL. Because let me tell you, it is a pressure cooker. I will promise you that money can lure people away from doing what they want to do. Pat McAfee left football because he wanted to go to Barstool because he knew he was going to make incredible. He saw what was coming from a digital standpoint.
With someone Amazon lure me away.
Broadcast money now? Coaches aren't making $20 million a year. I mean, eventually Saban might, but this is $20 million a year, and you don't have to deal with fans and GMs. And
is there a media outlet you wouldn't work for? If they came up with the cash, can you think of one immediately? Like, I'm not working for them.
I can't. If we're talking about this amount of money, I mean, do you want me to be performative for you?
I'm not saying no.
Well, I would never work.
No,
for them.
I'm not saying like, $18 million a year. Of course, you take that deal. Let's say, is there a media outlet you wouldn't work for times 1.5
of what I make now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a better moral compass than that.
Do you?
Yeah, but the moral compass is a sliding scale.
I'm sure it is.
look at people. Listen, we've got a country now where people like make excuses for Russia and China.
I see political people make, oh, Russia's not. Let's have, and then other people, hey, China's not, you know, Daryl doesn't know what he means about freedom. Let's say Daryl needs to get more educated on the way China treats people in communist China. Like, I can't even believe the country I live in sometimes when I hear people cape for Russia and China. So, yeah, I think when the but I know why. It's because the money gets hot.
That's right.
The money, and when the money gets hot enough, the NBA is like, well, wait a minute now, Daryl. Enough about freedom for a country that's it's got China's thumb on it. Enough of you. You need to be careful what you say. Those are our friends in China.
And you're not well informed on the situation anyway. Daryl, you're a basketball guy.
You with your Sloan Sports Conference and you with your degree from NIT and you don't know as much as everyone else does. You need to educate yourself. You know who probably doesn't need to be educated on things that much? Daryl Morey.
I wouldn't use
He's probably pretty learned.
I wouldn't use that. I'd go, I can't take you seriously. You trust James Harden to win you a title.
Well, now that is, I will admit.
I would win. I'm like,
that to me is like, I feel like Daryl's slipping. If somebody would have just came, I feel like Daryl's slipping. We can't trust what he says anyway.
Yeah.
Now you can definitely say that, like, I don't even know if this is Daryl anymore.
Who's even on that Twitter account?
We don't even know if this is his account. I do know current Rockets GM Rafael Stone is going to join us at 8:30. Bun B is coming up here in just a second as well. Thanks for hanging in with us. 713-780-3776. You're listening to ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's The Bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.